Blog Talk Radio.
On the other side, Michigan State and Duke, I'm taking Duke. I mean, Michigan State is doing
did a phenomenal job to get to the Final Four, but I expect Duke to go ahead and win because Duke does look pretty impressive to me. They beat a pretty solid Gonzaga team. A Utah team wasn't so bad either. A very tough defensive team in that Utah staff in that lineup, and they went there. They got past them. They got close for a moment, but they ended up pulling it off. And then, of course, Duke matched up against Gonzaga and just pretty much blew them out of the water. I don't think they really necessarily had a chance at all. So they'll match up against Michigan State. I think it'll be a good game, but I'm taking Duke, and I'm picking Kentucky. And that's the matchup we wanted to see, but don't be surprised if Wisconsin sneaks and slides in there. So we'll have an opportunity to see that, and, it'll be something to talk about. It'll be great headlines, great for the sport of college basketball. The game itself is pretty slow, and, I don't really like necessarily watching it, but the AJ, at the other time, I don't know. It's very, a lot of fouls, unnecessary fouls that are being called, and it's just bad. So, we just have to go ahead and hope that some of the changes that they'll be making over the course of the next few years. And I told you, the whole thing about college basketball is it's like whether they stay or whether they go. And this is the thing. Why not make it either or? If you decide to go straight to the NBA, you have that option. If you want to go to university and play, you got to stay 3 years. And just make it like that, because then the quality of the game will get better. Everybody will get balanced. You'll still get those players who feel they're not fully developed to go on to the pros that will stay in. And they'll have 3 good years to go ahead and get good and develop and become exponential stars. Now, everybody has their own opinion about whether those stars are stars already in the making or whether they can go ahead and get to the level of where they'll be highly successful. But I'm not so sure, necessarily sure of that, I want to be able to say that, hey, this guy at least has the opportunity to get the degree or have to go further than the other guy that just wants to go straight in. If the other guy wants to go straight in, okay, here you go. Go straight in. Have a good one. Take off. So, and it'll be interesting to watch. So, we'll pay attention and watch from, what they decide to do, and hopefully they'll decide to make the right decision and go along with that. I like an option. If you want to go straight to the pros, there you go, my man. You go straight to the pros. That's fine. Come on in. If you don't go to the pros and you'd rather take the 3 years, well, here you go. Because, see, really, at the end of the day, it's really up to those particular guys, the NFL officials, to decide whether or not they're going to draft you. Should be their choice. And if it's their choice, then why not? It's a big deal. So that's my opinion on it. I feel like it'll definitely get better with time. As you look over what's going on and how things transpire, it'll get better. And I think the sport will grow, and I think NBA will eventually get better. But they didn't come up with a decision, because if they leave it in, the hands of public opinion, will never get a resolution. But to me, that seems to be the simple one. It makes both sides, it satisfies both sides of the field. And once you make that commitment, you got to stay with the commitment. If you don't, you want to go straight. So people that decide to stay or decide to go to a university and stay, they will develop and get better over time. Others that do not decide to stay, they'll have to suffer and figure out a way to make it work. So at the end of the day, that's pretty much how I see it. So, if it doesn't get that way, then it'll only be up to the people that regulate, the league to decide whether or not that'll work. But I think it should work. So that's my input. That's my diatribe into that. We will have a Final Four now, Kentucky versus Wisconsin, and we'll have Duke versus Michigan State. So I think it's a great Final Four, great matchups. It ought to be good. I mean, you have pretty much the best coaches in the game. Calipari, you got, I forgot the Bo coming out up there out of Wisconsin. You have Tom Izzo in Michigan State, and of course you have Krzyzewski in Duke. So it's a coaching great matchup for some great young talent. So we ought to enjoy that. I'm going to go ahead and just slide into the NBA here. And, man, what are we seeing? What are we witnessing? Of course, some games that are in progress now. The Clippers up on Boston, 109-90. Detroit is losing to Miami, 93-83. San Antonio's up on Memphis at halftime, 51-42. Dallas is up on Indiana, 61-54. I think Indiana's about almost done. Houston defeated Washington. And I think that's going to solidify that position in the Eastern Conference. And what, meanwhile, jack up what Houston is doing in the Western Conference. The Lakers lose to Brooklyn. No Kobe, no surprise there. New Orleans beats Minnesota. Minnesota, one of the worst teams in the league. Cleveland escapes with a victory over Philadelphia. They're peaking at the right moment. It's just the right moment for them. They're just sitting there, and they're doing it. They're making it happen, and it's obvious to you know, us watching that they are really the best team in the East at this particular moment. I think out of their past 10 games, they won 8 of them. At the best ratio over the second half of the season. They played high-level basketball. I think they've locked it in. Atlanta basically is done. They've taken over the one seed. That's what it's going to be. As far as the second seed, 48-27 at the particular moment. There's obviously 7 games left. And I think they're going to knock that second seed down. They're 3 games above Chicago, or 2.5, rather. And I don't think that's going to change. So I believe they're going to be the number 2. Chicago has beaten Toronto every time they've played them this year, 4 times, 4-0. They're going to lock down that number 3 seed. They're 2 games above, or exactly 2.5 games above Toronto. So they're going to lock that seed down. I expect them to possibly win maybe 48 games. 50 might be a long shot. You know, you go 5-3 down the stretch. I think they'll either go 48-34. They might possibly go 49-33. It's possible to get a 50, but we'll have to see. But I definitely think they'll lock down that 3 seed. As far as the 6 seed, Milwaukee has that. They're not going to lose that seed. I mean, 7 games left or 8 games left. They said 36-37. That's sitting at 73 games, so they got 9 games left. They're going to probably split those. They're not going to lose any ground to Miami, and they're not going to lose any ground or gain any ground to Washington. Washington's about 5 games ahead, so that's what I see. Between Toronto and Washington, they're going to match up against each other. Okay, it's just really depending on where the game's going to be played, whether it's going to be in Washington, whether it's going to be in Toronto. And at this particular moment, I'm guessing and I'm seeing and I'm forecasting that it's going to be played in Toronto. Toronto's going to have the home field advantage in that matchup. So it'll be Chicago, Milwaukee, Toronto, Washington, Miami versus Cleveland. What a first-round matchup that's going to be. Boston is not necessarily out of it. I mean, they still have the potential to go ahead and get in that 7th seed, and they could face off, and Miami could fall to the 8th seed. But that Miami-Cleveland first-round series matchup, the way it's looking, that's crazy. You know, that's basically what's going to transpire. Place. And the Western Conference, you look at Golden State, it's the same kind of situation. They've pretty much locked it down. They're 10 games above Memphis. It's in there at 60-13. Memphis right now, as we reported, they're losing. They're actually losing their game, and they're tied for the second seed with Houston at 50-23. Houston is actually peaking right now, which is very, you know, that's good for them because now they get the grand choice of facing off against Dallas. My bad, I thought, you know, San Antonio was there. But it's like the Clippers and San Antonio are head-to-head, and they're just beating each other up. And it looks as if the Clippers, like, they're going to catch Portland, and they're going to be the 4th seed. They're going to be sitting at the 4th seed facing off against Portland. San Antonio and Houston is going to match up, and it doesn't look promising what's going to happen in Houston. I think that's going to be a first-round exit because San Antonio over the past few weeks here has laid it down and done well, very well. Oklahoma City, they're getting into the playoffs. They're going to face off with Golden State. They're not going to win, obviously. You know, Durant is done for the season. You know, he was basically in, and there was talking of whether whether or not that they whether they was going to be in a circumstance of where they would possibly have, you know, Serge Ibaka and Kevin Durant, but Kevin Durant's going to have season-ending surgery on that foot to get it corrected, you know, take the rest of the time off and relax. So it's Russell Westbrook's show to go ahead and run. Then, of course, now we're looking to see exactly what Serge is going to do. He's supposed to be out a couple of weeks, but I don't think he'll make it enough back in time enough to face off against Golden State. So basically those other players are just going to have to step up. Oklahoma's been going on a little slide there while, you know, they're giving up ground to New Orleans, which are now 2 games behind, and they're 2 games up. 41-32 Oklahoma City sitting at, and New Orleans sitting there at 39-34. As we also stated, Phoenix had caught up to New Orleans, but now they're back and they're losing again. So I basically find Oklahoma City, if they win at least their next, what, 4 games, I think they'll be in there. I think at that particular time, if they lose 4, if they win 4 and lose the rest, let me see, what's the magic number? Actually, let me just kind of look at this. 41-32. And New Orleans is 39-34. So, if we were to look at it, and we were to say, okay, there is 9 games left between the both of them, okay? If they win 4 more games, put them with a possibility of going a 45-37, that'd be enough. No, it wouldn't. I think right now the magic number, if it's 9 games, it's 7. 7 games would be the magic number. But, of course, you know, New Orleans is going to lose along the way. So we'll see. As it gets closer down and we get closer to the matchup, we're going to see a big-time difference. So we'll take it easy and take a look and close eye on that. And it ought to be very great for us to kind of watch this whole race. But typically, Golden State's going to be the number one seed. I'm betting it's going to be Oklahoma City. They're going to face off. I'm going with Golden State. Memphis is going to match up with Dallas, and, boy, that's going to be a matchup. That's going to be tough, just like, you know, the whole Dallas and San Antonio matchup last season. The only team to take San Antonio to 7 games in the whole NBA playoff. That Dallas team is dangerous. And then you got San Antonio against Houston. Houston finally looks like they're making strides, steps and strides in the right direction, but you got to face San Antonio. You better hope that San Antonio gets by the Clippers or whoever else. But then, you know, yeah, Portland and the Clippers in Portland have been on a little bit of a streak, but they lost a lot injury-wise, and it seems like the Clippers are just peaking at the right moment. That's what they're doing, and they're facing off against the Portland team, and they're coming in that hot. They got a better record, the 48-25. So I think that whole seeding would definitely switch, but they'll be facing off with one another. So NBA playoffs, to this moment, all right, this specific moment, looks like it's almost set. There's 9 games left, so we're going to go ahead and sit back and watch what's going on. Cleveland seems to be ahead of the game. They only have 7 games left. They're 48-27. That's a total of 75 games they've played. There's only 7 left for them. Most teams seem to have played 73 games, so it looks like Cleveland will be going on off night for the rest of the week and a half that's left. So, all right. But look at their schedule. See what they have left on their schedule. And then again, they got Miami, Chicago, Milwaukee, Boston twice. Wow. And they got Detroit and Washington. To me, I think they only possibly have a chance of just losing one of those games. Just one. And that's probably would be the Miami game. But that one's in Cleveland, so I'm going to give them that one. Or the Chicago game. But knowing how things roll, either Washington or probably Milwaukee would be the one to knock them off, depending on who they have, you know, to solidify that position. But, you know, over the past weeks here, they've looked very impressive all the way up to the end of January. You know, they've just been on a pretty much a good tear. I'm going to give you the list of the teams that have beaten them since the end of January, since when they went on streak. From January 15th on, I'm going to give you a list of the teams that have beaten them. and you'll have to make that sense. I mean, the Pacers beat them. The Bulls beat them. The Pacers beat them again. So with the Pacers, the Rockets beat them in overtime. Atlanta beat them. Miami beat them. And Brooklyn just beat them recently, just the other night, Friday. So, I mean, they're pretty much beating everybody else. Beating Memphis, they beat Milwaukee, they beat Indiana back. Indiana plays them tough for some reason. I don't know why. They beat San Antonio in overtime. They beat Dallas. They beat Phoenix. They're just tough, man. You know, right now they're peaking at the right moment. And since that January 15th, they've only lost 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 games. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. 7 games since January 15th. That's all they've lost. Absolutely fantastic. So Cleveland's on a tear. They're going to make it happen, and we're going to definitely see how that plays out. But that's my prediction for what we see, and we'll catch up with that later on Wednesday. I will just go to the NFL, and, of course, there's a lot of things. There's a big-time situation on Shane Ray. He has like a 30-for-30 type of documentary kind of deal. It's not a 30-for-30, but basically it's an update on his status and where he came from and basically how he transformed himself into a top prospect. So that's on ESPN. They're playing that. He's going to be a big-time player, linebacker, big, strong, fast. It should be within the top 10. So we'll see moving forward. You know, Russell Wilson, the quarterback, basically is in a fantasy camp, and he was slugging some home runs. So good luck, you know what I mean? And yeah, the Texans and Jadeveon Clowney said that he feels very confident that he's going to be able to come back after rehabilitation of his knee. He had microfracture surgery, so he ought to be good to see what's going on with that. We know that the linebacker for the Minnesota Vikings, Chad Greenway, basically took a pay cut to give Minnesota $3 million worth of cap space. We'll see what happens with that. We know what happens for the most part. And it goes Michael Sam. Of course, he's the first openly gay person selected in the draft. Said Thursday there are more gay players in the NFL. Of course, you know that's more than likely true. A lot of people are not going to want to come out and say anything because they don't want that press. That's possibly what he should have did. He should have kept his personal life, and shouldn't have did anything else. What is a big surprise to me that Jonathan Martin kind of picked up off waivers from the Carolina Panthers, you know, offensive tackle, the one that was in Miami that went through the whole Ricky Incognito situation, the bully thing. And, you know, I thought he wasn't going to make a team. I thought his career basically was pretty much done. So I didn't think there was going to be a team to pick him up. And obviously somebody still sees a lot of potential in him. His protector and coach Harbaugh is gone and plays for Michigan now. So he has an opportunity to come out and, you know, do his job and don't get caught up in another mess, you know. So hopefully that goes well for him and we'll see. Terrence Newman, long time, old time cornerback, plays for Dallas, went to Cincinnati. Usually gets picked up with the Vikings for a 1-year deal, which is great, you know. Veterans having an opportunity to do what they need to do, try to be successful. So I'm all about that. So, you know, Brandon McGee basically got released by the Buccaneers but went to the Red Sox minor league camp. This is the thing. Going to baseball, unlike football, you get something that's different than NFL. It's called guaranteed contract, which means when you sign a deal and you get signed by an MLB team, you get what you actually signed for. In other words, if you sign a $3 million deal, there is no $3 million deal, $1 million guaranteed. No, you get the whole thing. So a lot of times you have that option, or a lot of these players have the option to flip over and go make money in baseball or basketball. You know, it's a good thing because you get double the money. So it's pretty great, you know. I don't know what's going on with this Aaron Hernandez case. I guess the fiance And she took the basically took the stand at the trial. I don't know what was said. I haven't really been following it. More than likely, the guy's guilty just by the evidence that they're bringing out against him. A lot of the things, when you read the reports about what went down and how it went down, he more than likely, to me, in my opinion, did it. He's going to come back. He's going to get convicted. And we'll see. If he does, then I'll be highly surprised, and I'll be like, wow, only in America. But, you know, we'll see. You know, sometimes, you know, people get caught up in the system or get to a position where they get called for something and the other person doesn't. But, you know, like the innocent man always gets locked up, but then the guilty man usually gets let out. I don't know. It doesn't seem like it's not really like that, but sometimes it seems like that. But we'll see. So, you know, lawsuit for Greg Hardy has been put on hold. So they got to, you know, settle the matter out of court. So we'll see what's going on there. And that's pretty much it. I mean, there's not much going on outside of the Final Four. We talked a little bit of basketball. We know it's getting close to the point to where we're about to see some playoffs, and it's going to get really great. I love the NBA this year. It ought to be great, but we'll see. It'll be something to watch, and it'll be something to pay close attention to. But in the midst of that, you know, it's the process. So in the next few weeks here, we're going to start to see things really narrow down. Well, we're going to start seeing pronounced teams that's going to really get in, and we're going to see some great NBA basketball. I don't expect the Chicago Bulls to do much, but, of course, Derrick Rose is supposedly supposed to come back, so we'll definitely see how that happens and how that goes. So with that said, we're going to leave you with that, leave you with beautiful music. Sports Lines, my man Lou, he'll be back come Thursday night when we broadcast at 8 o'clock. I'm your host, Pan Out. Peace.